Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Calvary's mournful mountain climb, there adoring at his feet. Mark that miracle of time, God's own sacrifice complete. It is finished. Hear him cry. Learn from Jesus Christ to die. So ended our time together 3 days ago, Good Friday. Mary Magdalene and the other women watched in horror as Jesus bowed his head and gave up his spirit. They witnessed the spear pierced into his side with blood and water flowing out. Mary Magdalene watched as the soldiers brought Jesus' body down from the cross. Wrenching brought the nails back out of his hands and his feet. Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus were supervising the care of Jesus, making sure his body was wrapped properly in the newly purchased linen shroud. They then began the work of covering his wrappings with myrrh and with aloes. The coming of the Passover Sabbath would postpone the work of the women that they wanted to do next. Back to their lodgings, the Marys went into Jerusalem, wallowing through the next day, the Sabbath, in the surreality of Jesus' death. Likely working on very little rest, the women awoke early on Sunday morning, early hastened to the tomb where they laid his breathless clay. All is solitude and gloom. Who has taken him away? Mary Magdalene was stunned. The stone covering the entry to Jesus' tomb was rolled away. Off she ran to tell Peter and John, who then themselves raced to the tomb. They checked the scene out in its entirety, and it was just as Mary had said. The linen clothes, still scented by myrrh and aloes, were lying empty within the tomb. The face cloth folded up neatly by itself. The glimmer of belief began in John, but both he and Peter left the tomb, marveling at it all. But Mary Magdalene remained at the tomb, weeping outside of it. What did it all mean? Where was Jesus? And why were the linen cloths still there and the face cloth wrapped up all by itself? Who would do that? Mary took a look inside herself. Two angels now in white were sitting upon the tomb where the body of Jesus had laid. "Woman, why are you weeping?" they had to ask. Still, it was not registering to Mary. Stone rolled away. Linen cloths empty. No Jesus. Two angels. She finally turned around and there he was. But still, she did not see. Mary supposed Jesus was the gardener. Totally bewildered, Mary said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Now, why would a gardener do that? Perhaps he had found the stone rolled away early in the morning, and he wanted to secure the body of Jesus. Maybe he saw something, saw anything. Nothing was making any sense. Jesus was dead. His body was missing. Angels had appeared, and now the gardener was of no use. All was dark and confusing for Mary until one little word. Mary. Mary. Her eyes were then opened both to see and believe. The man she thought was a gardener was really Jesus. The man she thought was dead was truly alive. Her hopes and her prayers had come true. Rabboni, she cried, and she wrapped her arms around her Savior. She clung to him. She had to, for he was dead, and now he was alive. And her faith, her wishes did not make it so, but her faith, given as a true gift, allowed her to receive it, to receive that truth, to believe it, to benefit from it. But there was still more to be done. Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Do not cling physically anyway. Yes, cling to Jesus as the Savior, as life and salvation. Jesus' words reveal that he would not remain forever on the earth in this his resurrected form. He must still return to the Father. The return of the Lamb to his throne, as we get to see in Revelation 5, was needed. The true sacrifice for all sin, the Lamb of God, must be presented in the heavenly temple before the altar of God. But for 40 days, Jesus would remain upon the earth, and that would be enough. Another period of 40, this time to assure the disciples of the resurrection and to provide the world ample evidence of Christ's triumph over the grave. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Mary was given the important task of speaking to the disciples. She had already told Peter and John about the empty tomb, but now she got to return to them and share with them all that Jesus had spoken. She had seen him, seen the Lord Jesus, and he had called her by name. And he was the same, Jesus, yet now different. I have seen the Lord. Mary was told by Jesus in John's gospel to go and tell his disciples that he was ascending back to the Father. And according to Matthew's gospel, Mary was told by the angel that Jesus would meet his disciples in Galilee. And yet that very afternoon, Jesus would appear to two disciples heading back to their home in Emmaus. But that very evening as well, Jesus would appear to 10 of the 12. In the upper room of Jerusalem. What a most remarkable day. Mary had rode the roller coaster of emotions. She and the other women had hastened to the tomb early that morning to tend to the dead body of Jesus. Confusion then was added to their sadness as they found a stone covering the tomb was rolled away. Fear then was mixed in as Mary made her reports to Peter and to John. Utter grief hit Mary hard as she wept bitterly outside the tomb. Despair then was upon her as she pleaded with a gardener to tell her where Jesus was. But amazement and joy then settled in as Mary realized the man was the Lord Jesus, risen again from the dead. And exhilaration flooded her as she went to report the good news. Jesus, the one who had been crucified, was now risen from the dead. And the power of Jesus' word had brought Mary that saving faith. That is striking, that Mary went from thinking that Jesus was merely a gardener to clinging to him as Lord and Savior. Jesus called Mary by name, calling her out from her unbelief. His word has the power to save, the power to create faith where there is no faith. And Jesus does the same still today, as he has done all along. The unbelieving world knows of Jesus, but as nothing more than a good man, a good teacher, a good religious leader, merely a gardener, if you will. And yet the gift of faith opens the eyes of the blind, causing believers to see Jesus as he truly is, the resurrected and risen Lord. With eyes of faith granted to you through the word of Christ, you see Jesus as the Son of God and as the Son of Man, the one crucified for you, for your sins. And with eyes of faith, you see Jesus and believe in him as the only true God, the one who is worthy of honor, praise, thanksgiving by us and by all, because Jesus has called you by name. You cling to him as Lord and Savior. And for now, we cling to Jesus by faith, receiving him as he comes to us in the word and the sacraments. Christ has ascended to the Father, but he will return on the last day. He will raise you and all his believers from death to life, and he will take you and all his believers into his perfect kingdom. And with your own eyes and in your own perfected flesh, you will see God, and you will cling to Jesus as never before. This is no fairy tale, no wishful thinking, not the desperate desires of a desperate people. It is the truth from the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. Early hasten to the tomb where they laid his breathless clay. All is solitude and gloom. Who has taken him away? Christ is risen. He meets our eyes. Savior, teach us so to rise. And he will do exactly that. For Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen.